Welcome to Eureka Street Crypto. This is my anti-professional crypto channel. I'm just a barely sane dude who fell down the cryptocurrency rabbit hole. This channel is my fumbling attempt to communicate myself outside my own head about my journey in the crypto space. It is basically my brain dump. None of this is actual financial advice.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Eureka John, and you're at Eureka Street Crypto Hub. You ready for another morning? Morning number 344 episode. Yeah, I'm going for over a year now. I know it's not 365, but between October 24th, 2020 and February 6th, 2021, I was trying to find a time when to do all this stuff and what works for me. Working out the process. Yeah, and February 6th, 2021, I finally locked in. That I was going to make this a morning show and do it every single day. And that's what I've been doing. And it's been a wonderful experience. This is my video blog, AKA Brain Dump, and just basically my place to talk about crypto so I don't bother every single person around me throughout the rest of the day about my constant enthusiasm for the crypto world and Web3 space. So yeah, you're seeing it. You're seeing all my enthusiasm dumped out as soon as I wake up. So that's what I do here. It's not sponsored by anybody. I'm not shilling anything. I'm not trying to give you price predictions or technical analysis or anything like that. I'm just kind of talking about stuff that I like and that I learned. And that's what it's all about. It's crypto to me should always retain that aspect of fun, because that is why a lot of people got in it originally. It wasn't to sit there and try to flash bang, make a quick buck, you know. So even though you people have been able to, and I've done very well so far in the crypto space financially. So, you know, we'll see. I haven't really cashed out much in dollars because I don't want to be taxed on it. And I want to continually try to build generational wealth. I'm not sitting here just trying to make a quick buck so I can buy a Lambo. I wouldn't even buy a Lambo even if I could. So it's not my top priority. If I had a ton of money, I wouldn't want people to know I have a ton of money, you know, because then you get the Klingons and the psycho fans and stuff like that. So people have been wondering about my process, about the fact that I do this every single morning. How am I able to, you know, get all this stuff done and put out as much content as I do it? And I'll admit, like, a lot of my content is, I mean, it's not the top quality content you might see out of somebody with an entire team of producers and content creators and writers and you know, analysts and researchers and stuff like that. You know, you have guys like, you know, BitBoy and Coin Bureau and, you know, stuff like that. I mean, they have entire teams behind everything they do. This is just me. Yeah, it's just little old me creating all the intros. I created the music for the intros. I got this whole window set up. So basically I wake up in the morning around 4:30 or 4:45 every single morning, and I roll out of bed. I take a shower and kind of freshen myself up, floss my teeth in the shower, you know, cause it kind of helps me extend my shower time if I have stuff to do in there. And then come downstairs, grab my kombucha, my apple and my banana. And sometimes I might make this little pre-workout type of energy drink that YouTube creators seem to drink so much. And then if I have extra time, I'll make a smoothie before or after. And then I'll come in here. I'll turn on my ring light. I will fire up my OBS. It's Open Broadcasting System or something like that. OBS software. Open Broadcast Software is what it stands for. And if you just do a search on the search engine for it, you'll find it's free. And I've connected that to my camera on my computer. I've, you know, made it look all pretty, created a border and all that stuff, set it up the way I've set up. So the part of the whole process is getting the process down and getting everything set up the way you want it. So when I come down in the morning, it's just plug and play. I fire it up. I have the stream key all configured. I've broadcasted on just about every major platform, from Theta to Odyssey to Float.app to YouTube. I've tried to stay clear of YouTube, but you know what? YouTube right now is the one that is saving me the most time. So, and you know, I'm getting the most audience interaction out of YouTube. So I'm sticking with YouTube for right now. I know, but I only have 862 subscribers. I'm not monetizing anything. Trying to grow my audience, but anyway, so yeah, I have the stream key connected to YouTube. I fire it up. I start the introduction. I do the show. I record the show. It takes me 30 minutes if it's a 30-minute show, sometimes longer. And then when I'm done, I don't use the YouTube editor. I save a recording in MP4 format to my computer, and I have an entire external hard drive just filled with episodes. I upload the episode to YouTube. And because it's trimmed exactly where I want it, where I press start and stop, because the YouTube editor, I don't like that one. And then from there, I create, you know, all I write a little blurb about it, create a title, and then I upload it to YouTube, and then it gets uploaded to Twitter. And I do a tweet about it, and I put that out. And then at the same time, I'm uploading it to Odyssey and then to BitChute. And I do the same thing. I copy and paste the same description with all my sources in it to the Odyssey and BitChute descriptions. And then after I'm done with that, I will take the MP4 file, the video file from OBS, and I will open up Audacity. And Audacity is also an open source sound editor, a DAW, Digital Asset Workstation, or Digital Audio Workstation. And so I'll import the MP4 to Audacity. And even though it has video, it doesn't show up. It just shows up as the sound waves. That way I can strip the audio out. I run a noise reduction tool on that to get rid of any background noise, and then I normalize it, and then I export that as a wave, and I export that out, and I put it in the same folder, and then I open up my PreSonus Studio One software, which is paid sound editing DAW software, DAW, and then I import that wave file into there, because the PreSonus doesn't take the MP4 file, but Audacity does. So I have to export it out of Audacity as a wave file. So I import that wave file to PreSonus Studio One. And then from there, I can run some mixing effects and kind of EQ it out, make it sound all radio quality and stuff like that. And then I export that as an MP3. And then I open up Podbean. And Podbean is a... I have a subscription to it, so I pay for it, but it's a podcast distribution platform. And so you can distribute your podcast as an RSS feed on Podbean, but it can also distribute out to Google Play, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Last.fm, Pandora, Amazon Alexa. I mean, you name it. It has a Listen FM. It distributes out to all those different, platforms if you would like. So I have it, and I distribute it out to as many as possible. I'm not quite configured up on Apple Podcasts because there's some pain in the butt thing going on. But otherwise, it's distributing on Spotify. So I take that real high quality audio version, and sometimes I chop out little bits, and I put it up on Spotify and through via the Podbean platform. So it's podbean.com, P-O-D-B-E-I-N. And then after all that's done, I'm ready to go to work. All that takes exactly... pretty much 1 hour. So if I start broadcasting at 5:45, I'm done with everything at 6:45. I can get out the door, go to work. It takes me an hour and 15 minutes to get to work. And then bam, I'm at work right around 8 o'clock, you know, and my boss is happy. Nobody has any idea at work of what I'm doing. I think maybe a couple people know now. But and then I just work throughout my day. You know, so and I'll have my laptop open on my desk, and I'll listen to community calls and things like that. But otherwise, I'm, you know, my crypto day is over by 6:45 in the morning. So and then I'll come home at night, and I'll just, you know, throughout the day on my commute, I'll listen to podcasts and research articles. But anyway, that's my process. Really, from recording to uploading and distribution, it takes me 1 hour in the morning, every single morning to do. And I wake up at 4:30 to 4:45 in the morning to do that. And I get to bed around 8:30 or 9 o'clock, sometimes 10. So, yeah. People say, well, I don't have the time to do this stuff. You know, well, if it's something you really care about, even if you're working 40 hours a week at your job, you'll make sure you do it. And that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to change my job from working in commodities and manufacturing to working in the Web3 space. And it's going to take a lot of work. It's going to take a grind. I've been going at this for over a year now. and been working out this process, and it's been awesome. It's been an amazing, it doesn't even really feel like work getting up and doing this in the morning. So anyway, so those of you that were curious about my process, that's my process. Again, if you missed the beginning of it, I'll be uploading this to YouTube and Odyssey and BitChute and Spotify, so you can hear it again. So anyway, let's move on. I came across some really cool tweets. I found this one cool tweet on how, I didn't even look at what the crypto market looks like today. Let me see here. I'm sitting here talking about myself the whole time. So let's see. Bitcoin is $57,041.42. Ethereum is $4,601.17. Binance coin is $624.68. Tether's a dollar. Wow. Oh my God. What a surprise. It's a stable coin. Solana, $237.68. Cardano, $1.67. XRP, 97 cents. USD is another stable coin, a dollar. Polkadot, $36.36. The Doge still lingering in there at number 10. The Doge and Sheeps. Sheeps got knocked down by Terra and Avalanche. That's awesome. That is really good news. I'm glad to see the meme coins kind of get kicked out of the doghouse for a little, or get put in the doghouse, get kicked out of the big house. And then let's see. Crypto.com is at 69, man. Nice. Polygon, 232. All right, man, the Chainlink's just been kind of sitting around like a stable coin around the $25-$26 mark. So that's kind of what Chainlink does. It kind of lingers at one spot, and then it'll just like shoot up dramatically, and then it'll settle down about halfway in between that, and then it'll just sit there, sit at one spot for a long time again. I've been into Chainlink for a couple of years now, so yeah, hopefully all that stuff keeps going up in the long term, and I think it will. So okay, anyway, let's get over here to these bookmarks. So there's a lot of scammers in the crypto world right now. And, what happens when the scammers get scammed? there's a way you can do that. And, let me see here. I'm going to read about that here. All right. So let me, okay, so let me find this here. Not Ross. I'll read with Ross Ulbricht here. Okay, this is a concept idea. RugDAO, and this is responding. Okay, so here we go. All right. So if you're on Telegram or Discord or anything else, you see tons of scammers and who are trying to get your private seed phrase, and never, ever, ever get your private seed, give away your private seed phrase. And there will be people hitting you up in Telegram spaces, trying to say that they are the moderator, that they are the, you know, the CEO of this or that type of, you know, cryptocurrency project. You know, I've been in Zilliqa, Telegram, and have people tell me that they were the moderator, that they were, what's his name? The guy's name escapes me right now, who is the founder of Zilliqa, you know, and they're good sometimes. I mean, but you know, a lot of times you can easily figure out who they are. So anyway, I saw this tweet, and at first it kind of threw me aback. I didn't really understand what they were talking about. But Depression Bitcoin, I don't know who that is. It's just some random person on here. So I've been spending all week sending my seed phrase to a wallet with only $1,000 worth of Tether in it to scammers. As soon as they send in Ethereum to try to retrieve the Tether, I automatically bounce it out to myself immediately. Easy money. So, hey, what's up, Gee Mogul? I hope I'm saying your name right. He says, good day, John. What do you think about the Omnius and Ohm project? I love Ohm. I don't know Omnius. What are they calling DeFi 2.0? Yeah, I talked about Ohm a little while back, and it's if you listen to the Alchemix Scoopy Truples talk with Ryan and Sean Adams on the Bankless podcast, he goes in and explains in detail what DeFi 2.0 is. It's an amazing podcast. You should really listen to that. So, that's not within the scope of this episode today. But yeah, I definitely want to do an entire episode dedicated to DeFi 2.0. I'll check out Omnius too. So anyway, been spending all week sending my seed phrase to a wallet with only $1,000 of Tether in it to scammers. So whenever he's been hit up, or you can intentionally go and try to fish to scammers by asking some stupid question in Telegram or Discord, and they will come in and pop in, hey, how may I assist you, you know? And then you'd be like, well, you know, I don't know. I can't really seem to move this And then they'll always try to get your private seed out of you. And I've led some of these scammers on, and I've been like, all right, you know, let's play along here. Let's see how far I can get you and waste your time before you ask me for my seed phrase. And then I tell you like some stupid seed phrase, and then they get all pissed off, and the, you know, the curtain comes open, and they you see how angry they get. So I've messed with scammers in that way. But even if you ever type anything and you mention the word MetaMask, or you tag MetaMask in Twitter, suddenly you will have your comments just full of, you know, these MetaMask support people, you know, trying to come on there and help you out and stuff like that. And just try it out. Just tweet something and tag MetaMask in it. You'll see. So anyway, he's fishing these scammers in, and you know, he's going in there, and he loads some wallet that he made, and he loads it full of Tether, and yeah, Tether, the stable coin. And so when they go in there with the private seed phrase, because they have to put in Ethereum in order to be able to pull the money out, right? Because Ethereum takes gas. So scamming costs money. And anyway, they put that Ethereum in there. And when he sees that go in there, he immediately pulls out the Ethereum. So that's an easy way to get some Ethereum and to scam the scammers. And obviously, you know, they're getting had and they're probably pissed and stuff like that. So, but I mean, that's a little bit of work to do that. So, I mean, you can, if you're a little more advanced and you don't want to sit there and watch that wallet, you could just create a bot for it. So anytime you see Ethereum bounce in there from some unknown address, you can write a script to immediately pass that on to another wallet, which it would be your own wallet. So yes, the scammers are getting exactly what's coming to them. Let's read some of these comments. I F with this. All right. So, but this is a, I don't know. They can just try it again when you're asleep. This won't work unless you're up 24/7, 365 or forever, or can change your seed. You can't. At some point, they'll be able to do it. Now, I mean, somebody said, imagine thinking bots sleep, right? So yeah, create a bot for it. But somebody made a really good comment about flash bots. You know, this all works fine and dandy until the scammer knows how to use flash bots and do flash loans and stuff like that. However, I wouldn't think that somebody who is resorting to this type of scamming actually knows how to use flash loans and flash bots, because if they did, they probably would be doing very well for themselves and not have to resort to scamming and trying to pull seed phrases out of newbies. So so anyway, so somebody said here, worked on a similar script a while ago. It was fun. Ask the newbiest questions on any Telegram group and bait the scammers to use your tainted seed. He said tainted seed. anyway, somebody said, what a way for easy money. I was telling myself today that you have to work hard to go beyond, but starting small with easy money will always help. Yep. And share it, please. How did you do this? All right. I'd like to use your tainted seed. Oh, geez. Yeah. I see somebody else has a dirty mind. Let's see here. They can still extract it with a multi-trunk transaction bundle via flash bots. And Mr. Dark.eth came back and said they wouldn't be scamming people by asking their seed if they knew how to do that. Yeah, that's right. So open source the process. Allow people to DDoS, direct denial of service attack, the scammers. So yeah, as soon as you meet a scammer that knows what flash bots are, it's over though. Yeah, and back to this other guy's point, they wouldn't be scamming people by asking their seed if they knew how to use flash bots. And they say, would this allow them to pay ETH gas from a different address in a bundle, or what would flash bots do to prevent this? So yeah, you just pay the bribe from another address and include it in a bundle with transferring it away from the honeypot wallet. And it makes sense. Thanks for the response. And then, of course, all these memes. I love that big brain meme and the crane holding it up. You know, this meme, my meme collection. Hear me out. A scam coin like AK swap, and when the scammer takes the bait, you drain their account. Okay. Please send seed phrase, and I can demonstrate how flash bots work for the low cost of 1,000 Tether. Oh, man. So, yeah. So I remember reading about honeypot scams that thought immediately they can be used also for scamming scammers who want to get your seed on Telegram. I can't find the exact post, but it was something like this. It uses some rules and contracts, not flashbots. So let's take a quick look at this in Reddit. Reddit's one of my favorite little places to find not a very objective, well, subjective, objective type of comments about projects and stuff like that. It's good to read the website and to read the white paper of things like that, but you can really kind of find the criticisms and what some random nerd is talking about and criticizing projects in Reddit. So here I am thinking that I'd have some fun hacking a contract, but it seems the contract pulled a trick on me instead. Very clever, or perhaps I got beaten to a punch by another hacker. So this is what happened. While randomly browsing some contracts on Etherscan, I stumbled on this contract, and then it shows that I immediately spotted what would be vulnerable to a re-entrancy attack. It links to a medium.com article on re-entry attacks, smart contracts, how to identify the exploitable, an example of an attack. Beauty, I thought, I can have some fun and try out this hack and give the funds back to the contract creator later. There's one ETH in there, so it should be a fun challenge. Maybe do a victorious blog post later. First thing I did is redeploy the contract on the Robston network. Then I wrote my exploit code and tried it out. After a few tries, it worked. I was able to empty the test contract using my exploit contract. So the next day I decided it was time to run it on the real thing. Minimum deposit was one ether. Here's my attack transaction. Okay, it didn't work. The ETH got stuck in this contract. I was shocked. How is it possible? What's funny is that Etherscan.io is showing internal transactions. The ETH was transferred to his contract, then two transfers showing as going to my exploit contract. However, it didn't get anything. What's going on? Out of desperation and defeat, I called it again. Kind of like the good old did you try turning it on and off again logic there. And he shows the contract. Also didn't work. Shucks. By that time, I went back to the drawing board to see if I had a bug with my exploit contract. However, it worked fine on the testnet. Not sure what the problem one was. About 20 minutes later, I noticed my victim got drained. It was done by this transaction, and he showed it. I'm quite baffled by that transaction. Did another hacker beat me to the punch? What did he do different to me? So anyway, he's given an update. It looks like a new incarnation of the honeypot just appeared here. Regarding Etherscan's missing some sends. All right. Anyway, he gets into some technical stuff. So I don't know. I'll link this and see if you people who are more hacker minded and know solidity and stuff like that can kind of figure out what's going on here, because I don't, you know, I've done some basic stuff in solidity and stuff like that, but nothing major. Anyway, let's move on to a different subject. Okay. So, let's go back to my bookmarks and, I've been talking about NFT projects. I want to get on MGH DAO and their staking, but I'm going to wait till the 8th because that's when their Ethereum staking goes live. So in the meantime, I'm a big fan of Ross Ulbricht. I'm not really sure how to say his name, but I like how he is. He's in prison, and he is in prison by the Fed for creating that Silk Road website, which created an anonymous marketplace for people to be able to buy, sell, and trade, kind of an agora online. But the problem is people were using it to, you know, pay Bitcoin and stuff like that for drugs, and you know, they say murder for hire and stuff like that. I honestly don't know how many cases of anyway, he got the brunt of the blame for all that as creating that website. So he ended up getting a sentence to life in prison without parole at a very young age. And he's still sitting in prison to this day without any type of overturn on the verdict or anything like that. So here's the NFT collection to help try to help him and other people who are stuck in prison for these type of nonviolent crimes. He says in here in his tweet, I'm just getting bits and pieces from here in prison, but it sounds like there's a lot of support for what we're doing with this NFT. My deep and heartfelt gratitude goes out to the whole community. And it's Super Rare, which is an NFT marketplace platform. And I believe that they curate their NFTs. It's not like OpenSea where any old garbage can go up on there. So let's go take a quick look at this and see what we got going on here. So superrare.com/artwork-v2 Ross Ulbricht collection, Genesis collection 30841. All right. let's take a look here and see what we have. Okay, so Ross, let me see how this looks on the screen. Okay, all right. So let me pull my stream back up. And okay, so Ross Ulbricht Genesis Collection. Perspective is a graphite pencil drawing created in prison. It is a part of the unique collection of writings and 10 artworks by Ross Ulbricht from early childhood to teen to prisoner. The collection also includes a 2-minute 40-second original animation by Levitate, created in collaboration with Ross. Once the auction is won, the entire collection will be compiled into one singular NFT using Canon's K-Spec protocol. I don't know what that is. I'll have to go down that rabbit hole. Curated by Entoptic. This is the first and only NFT collection to include Ross Ulbricht's personal work. Proceeds will fund efforts to relieve the suffering of the incarcerated and their family, as well as the fight to free Ross from a life in prison. Full list on what that collection looks like. Full list of what the collection includes at freeross.org Genesis Collection. So that's pretty rad, man. I'm thoroughly against this entire military industrial prison complex we have going on here. People sit there and criticize Bitcoin for not being green and wasting energy and stuff like that. But when you look at the amount of energy that the entire military prison industrial complex uses, it's hard to shake a stick at Bitcoin, right? You know, so the Ross Ulbricht Collection Genesis NFT auction launches at Art Basel December 2nd, 2021, a fundraiser in prisoner support and Ross Ulbricht's freedom effort. So December 2nd to 8th on the Super Rare platform, the Ross Ulbricht Genesis Collection NFT is a unique collection of writings and 10 artworks by Ross Ulbricht from early child to teen to prisoner. It also includes original animation by Levitate, voiceover by Ross inspired by Ross's experience in prison. The auction was kicked off by Art Basel Miami through the Super Rare platform curated by Entoptic. And this is the first and only NFT to include Ross Ulbricht's personal work. Where we are on time. Okay. Link to the auction on Super Rare here. So there's a quote by him. Decades of incarceration stretch out in front of me. I mean, as of right now, he's not seeing an end in sight to his prison term. You know, and it's got to seem pretty hopeless at times. And I read his tweets whenever he is allowed to tweet. And the guy is like meditating and he's trying to encourage other prisoners. He's, you know, forming groups in there and communities and trying to help people, man. This is, you know, it reminds me of Dietrich Bonhoeffer back in the days of the Nazi internment. So anyway, so if you've ever read his letters and papers from prison, I have that book around here somewhere. It's a really good read. You should read Dietrich Bonhoeffer's letters and papers from prison. So anyway, decades of incarceration stretch out in front of me as I face the future. My eventual old age and death in this cage, I find myself looking for meaning and purpose. Why am I here? What good can I do with the time I have left and where am I and from where I am? I hope that helping my fellow prisoners through my art is one way. So the open source museological grade protocol, KPSEC, CapSec, I don't know, all 10 of Ross's original artworks and writings, as well as the original animation, will be compiled into one singular NFT using Canon's K-Spec protocol. Again, I don't know what that is. Here's a link right here. So the process will be directly facilitated by the Canon team. K-Spec allows for the Ross Ulbricht Collection NFT to be delivered in full quality and allows on-chain capabilities for the winner of the auction that were previously impossible before K-Spec integration. Right on. So Entoptic quotes, "This NFT collection is Ross's creative journey of expression. It is a living and evolving story. Through drawings and video, we see glimpses of a man's unfolding existence. This is his way to reach outside the walls of prison as we continue to campaign for his freedom." So, Ross says, "With this NFT, I see a chance to make a difference. My own future may look bleak, but I can still do a little something to heal the damage I see all around me." Here's a picture of him. I mean, yeah, the dude looks really young, and there are a lot of young people in prison of all ages, races, genders, and everything that are like him in there for nonviolent crimes. And let's see what this teaser looks like. Why am I here? What can I do with the time I have left? I hope that helping my fellow prisoners through my art is one way. And if you're listening, it shows a bleak prison hallway and a prison cell. December 2nd, 2021. It shows the inside of a prison. People in there in collaboration with Levitate. Super rare. FreeRoss.org and Ross Ulbricht. Until we meet again. So, yeah, man, some people are really rallying around him. And I saw some tweet earlier by somebody in my Bankless DAO saying, what are some worthwhile NFT projects that are for good? I think I will comment on that and link to this, because this is definitely an NFT project for good. The one I talked about yesterday, I believe, with Louis C. Rhymes and Hip Hop Heads, I think that is for good too, to help musicians kind of be able to take control of their artistry and their work as well, and to form communities and take it away from the powers of the record labels and stuff like that, and the large corporate media distribution platforms. So anyway, there's a lot of good stuff going on with NFTs right now and with crypto. It's not about it's not about speculation anymore to me. You know, it might be to you and you want to pull a quick buck and you're pissed off about Ethereum gas fees, but this goes well beyond that. All this stuff, you know, think larger than just bitching about gas fees because you can't pull a trade and make a quick buck. I mean, there is so much stuff going on that is revolving around people's freedom. So anyway, that being said, I got to get on to work and I have to finish out this process. I told you at the beginning, the time is now, 5:50. I'm actually pretty early this morning, so I'll actually have some time to actually, maybe, I don't know, do something for myself instead of speed down the freeway. I can take my time a little bit. All right. Well, that being said, I will talk to you guys tomorrow. And yeah, man, have a good day. Later.